Hey everyone, welcome back to our series on the books of the Bible. Last week we looked at the book of Genesis, and today we're going to pick up, of course, with Exodus. When we think about the book of Exodus, it is quite simply the book of Israel's exodus from Egypt. When we started looking at it, the book of Exodus is something that I think there is a lot for us to learn. The name, of course, as we already mentioned, comes literally because it is their exodus from Egypt. They were literally exiting the country. But when we look at this book, there's many things that we can learn. First and foremost, I think it's a book of delivery. A book where we actually see God's people being delivered from some danger, some problem that was before them. We also see that the great might and the great power that God possesses when we start to look at the plagues as they are laid out, as God delivers Israel and helps them to escape from Egypt. We see Israel's start to their ingratitude towards God all throughout the Old Testament. We're going to see that Israel is continually not as grateful as they should be towards God. But this really starts in the book of Exodus while they're wandering out in the wilderness. Well, God gives them food, but they continue to complain about the types of food and complain about the things that God has done for them. So we see this kind of starting in the book of Exodus. And we also, and very importantly, see the start of the Jewish religious system. And in a sense, we kind of see the start of organized religion as a total. We see the Ten Commandments and God's regulations and rules for how Israel should be worshiping and the things that they should be doing. But before we get into any of that, I think we have to remember where we came from when we start to look at the book of Exodus. There are certain books of the Bible that, to an extent, can kind of stand on their own. You can go and they are books of wisdom or whatever else, but these are books of history. The book of Exodus is a book of history of things that have been going on. So we have to remember what happened at the end of Genesis. If you remember back to last week what we looked at, remember that the Israelites, or basically Jacob, or Israel, and his sons, and their family, and the people that were with them, and their wealth, and everything that would have traveled and gone with them, moved to Egypt. Because if we remember, Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, one of the sons of Jacob, was sold by his brothers into slavery, and through his godliness, through his hard work and the things that he does, he eventually makes his way all the way up through the legal system or the hierarchy of Egypt to an extent, where he was basically the right-hand man of the king or the pharaoh at the time. But as we look at this, this ends up being a good thing for Israel, because Joseph is going to foretell, be it by the power that God gives him or by a warning from God, there is going to be a famine. So Egypt stores up all of this extra food and makes sure that they are going to be safe. And for this, Israel and the family of Joseph and Jacob and his 11 sons move into Egypt. And this is where we find ourselves when we begin the book of Exodus. When we start out, we see that at the end of Genesis, they were all moving in there. And at the beginning of Exodus, we see that this family has kind of grown. It's gone from just being Jacob and his sons that are living in Egypt to now they have kind of grown into a nation. Israel has moved from a family to a nation. And when we look at Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly, and they multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them." And now, when we start to look in the next verses after this, we see that another king rises up, a king that doesn't remember Joseph. He doesn't remember all the things that Joseph had done and all the greatness and how he saved Egypt at a point when there was going to be a famine and a drought. And he looks around and he sees, look, there is this group of people living in my country. There is a random group of people that is living in here, and they're starting to become powerful, and he started to get afraid that they might rise up and take over his property, as I think it kind of makes a certain amount of sense. So what he decides is, look, now we are going to enslave these people. They are going to start working for us instead of just living freely in our land. And this is the reason why Israel needs to escape. This is why they need to make an exodus out of Egypt. So as we start to see this, the book of Exodus is them telling of that escape. God is going to choose a man named Moses, a man who originally did not really want the job to go and deliver the people of Israel. And just kind of like Joseph, Moses is a man who was also high up in Egypt. He was taken out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised basically as an Egyptian. But as time moves on, he is eventually going to kind of, in a sense, go back to his people, and eventually he is going to be the one that is going to deliver them. But as we move on, we see that God tells Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then over the coming time, we see that God is going to bring these plagues against Egypt. These terrible things that are going to be signs to them, these terrible plagues that are going to be a nuisance and a pain and even deadly to the Egyptians. But it is all with the hope and the goal that the Pharaoh will let the people of Israel leave Egypt. And eventually he agrees and he says, okay, you may leave this land. And through the next coming time, we see that he eventually changes his mind and he tries to chase them. And at that time, God parts the Red Sea where the Israelites are able to pass through. And as the Egyptians go in to try and follow and try to attack them, God closes the Red Sea upon the Egyptians. As we move on past this, now we see that the Israelites are in a place where they don't have a home. They're in a sense kind of just wandering, searching for a place that God is going to give them. We see that God is going to feed and he is going to protect his people. He's going to send manna, which is basically a bready substance from heaven. He's going to give them water out of rocks on various different occasions. He's going to give them quail. He's going to protect his people. But as we get on down to chapter 20, we see that God starts to institute religion. He starts to show them, this is how I want you to act. And basically, he places a law upon his people, which is going to govern the way that they worship him, the way that they praise him, as well as the way that they are supposed to live their lives. Of course, most of us know the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, have no other gods before me, shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, keep the Sabbath day and holy, and so on and so forth. These are things that are going to govern the Israelites. And as we go throughout the rest of the book of Exodus from chapter 20, we see that it is basically God telling the Israelites, this is how you should live. So when we look at the book of Exodus, it's a very interesting book because it kind of does a lot of different things. It shows us the power that God possesses, and it shows us that God desires to deliver his people and he desires to help his people. We also see what happens when God's people don't follow the commandments that God has set for them. Because eventually, throughout the book of Exodus, we're going to see that the Israelites are going to make an idol. They're going to make something to try and replicate or replace God with a golden calf while Moses is up on the mountain talking to God. But throughout all of this, we see that God is going to punish his people when they do not obey the commandments that he has set. But we also see God's commandments being laid out before the people in this book. So the book of Exodus is an important one for us to study because it's the origin of a lot of things that we are going to see throughout the rest of the book, or the rest of the Old Testament, and ultimately leading into the New Testament. But if you have questions about maybe where did the Israelites get their start? Or maybe how much does God care about his people? Will God actually protect? Exodus is a great book for us to see because it is the story of God delivering his people from danger. As Christians, there are times where we will run into danger, where we are going to run into problems throughout our lives. We have to remember that God does care for us and he does desire to deliver us. There is a great deliverance from sin that we are able to enjoy as Christians. But I want to leave us with one final passage, one final reading as we look at this. And this comes from Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And when we started looking at and started going through and explaining this, I briefly mentioned that Moses didn't really desire to be the person that God had chosen him to be, right? Moses basically said, look, I don't really want to deliver Israel. I don't really want to be this man. Can't you pick someone else? And God is going through and he's basically saying, Moses, you are able to do this. So Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since I have spoken, or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with you, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall speak. But he said, Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. When we look at Moses, this is one of a few times that Moses basically tries to plead with God and say, look, I'm not good enough. The first time he says, look, God, how are they going to know that I'm supposed to actually be talking to them? They're going to say, okay, who sent you? And God tells them, tell them that the I am sent you. And then he gives them various signs that he's going to be able to perform to prove that he's actually sent by God. But here Moses starts saying, look, I'm not a good speaker. Who am I to go before Pharaoh and say, let the people of Israel go? I'm not good at talking. I'm not able to do all of these different things. And then finally, Moses is just going to say, please send someone else. And then God's going to kind of get angry with him, and he's eventually going to give him Aaron to go and to help him speak. But as we look throughout the rest of the book of Exodus, we see a man, Moses, who does many great things for God. We see this man being someone who is able to speak and who is able to lead the Israelites. We see him being the mouthpiece for God before various different people. I'm afraid that there's many times in our lives where we think there's someone that is better suited for this job than me. There's someone who can do a better job. God, please pick someone else. We have to remember that at various times, we are the one that God has chosen. We are the one that needs to go and to do the things that God has set before us. I hope this has encouraged you to hopefully go through and study the book of Exodus to learn the things that God has placed in it. It's a very interesting book and something that has lots to teach us, even as Christians living in the 21st century. So, hope you've enjoyed. Thank you all very much for watching.